Don't forget tomorrow night, not tomorrow night, but Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, be ladies' Bible study. It'll be a very special time. If you usually don't, ladies, if you usually don't come, make plans to come Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. There'll be a special time, some special things going on for that, and so we encourage you, ladies, if at all possible, to be here on Tuesday night. And then don't forget, next Sunday morning, we're going to start at what time? 10 o'clock. And what'll be interesting is how many people will get here at 10:30. But anyway, we're going to have church next Sunday at 10 o'clock. No Sunday school, just one service. And then immediately following that service, then we'll have a meal in the fellowship hall. And we're going to honor Brother Chris and Tricia for their 25-year anniversary. And so, as I've said in the past, if you know somebody that's been associated with their church and maybe they've gone somewhere else or done something else, or maybe they're just out in the community. Brother Chris has preached tons of funerals, come across them this week, invite them, because he's really had a great impact on a lot of people outside of the church that would probably like to be here next Sunday to pay honor to him. And so if you see those, if you would invite those, let's have a really good day. I'm hoping and we're praying and really believe that we're going to have a full house next Sunday. And so you be in your place. As I told my Sunday school class last week, if you got plans, cancel them, because your plans are going to be here Sunday. Amen. And let's just have a good day. All right, let's get into our scripture tonight, our text tonight. It's always interesting to me that when you start preaching through a book, how passages of scripture just come up at the exact right time. This is one of those passages. When I decided way back at the first of the year that I was going to preach through 2 Corinthians, I never get 4 or 5 messages in line. I just take the text that I'm dealing with that week. It's just the way my mind works. And I just preach the message that I believe that God lays upon my heart and what the text is saying. Little did I know that when I started preaching through this text, that on this night that we would deal with this text. And the reason you're going to see why it's amazing how God works, because it is going to be specific for what we are going to do here next Sunday morning. The Apostle Paul is talking about himself. And so let's just read the text, verse number 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and the door was open unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother." Now, what was it that was causing him trouble? Because Titus hadn't come. Because remember, Titus had carried that severe letter to the church at Corinth, and he didn't know how the church had received it. And so he was waiting for Titus to come, and until Titus came, he was almost in knots over what was going on with the church there in Corinth. But he says, "But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other, the Savior of life unto life." And then he asked this really important question, "And who is sufficient for these things?" And here is where we're going to draw our message from, verse number 17. The Bible says, "For we are not as many." Now, I'm going to explain that in just a few moments, but that's really important to understand verse number 17, that first phrase. And if you just read past it, the other things that he says is not going to make as much difference. Paul says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." I think one evidence that any society is upside down is revealed by who we held as heroes and by people that we honor. In our society today, people that really make great contributions and lasting contributions and people that really have an effect upon your life and my lives get very little honor in our society. Matter of fact, the people that we hold up as heroes and the people that we honor is those who entertain us. As you know, I love sports. I love football. And Blake, my North Carolina beat the dog out of the Duke Blue Devils last night. And I want you to know I was excited about that. I love that. I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel basketball fan. But I'm going to tell you what, there's not a one of those dudes worth $1 million to play a game. There's not hardly any of them that I would want to pattern my life after, but yet they are heroes in our society. People look up to them and they want to know what they say. I like music. I like to play the trumpet. I like to listen to music. I like to listen to people sing. And our world tonight is focused in on the Grammys and all of these people that sing and make music and everything. They're honoring them. They're holding them up as heroes and people to be lifted up. But I want you to know there's not a one of them that I know that I want to pattern my life after. I like a good movie. Hoosiers is the best movie that has ever been made. If you've never watched Hoosiers, you go and rent that movie. That is the greatest movie that has ever been made. I like Jack Klugman or Hackman or everybody, or Gene Hackman that is in it, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, they are not my heroes. They never have been my heroes, but yet we hold them up as heroes and we honor them, and many times we treat them as though they are gods. The Bible has a lot to say about whom we honor. Brother Roy, I've put some verses up there in the bottom of the schedule. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, Romans 13, is that the first one? I may not have put Romans in there. Okay, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 7, here's what the Bible says. Render therefore, means the word render means give, therefore to all their duties, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. Jesus says, hey, there are some people in this world that you need to give honor to that are worthy of honor, that are worthy of high praise and high exaltation. The word honor is used 146 times in the Bible. Many of those times are found in the New Testament, and I'd like to just give you a few of those verses where Jesus says, here are some people that you need to honor. The first one is that we need to honor God. All of us would understand that, but here is what Jesus said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but notice what he says, but I honor my Father. Jesus says, you know what, I hold my honor of my Father in high praise. My Father has great value in my life. And Jesus says, you know what, I am going to honor God. He is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all of our glory. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 1, it tells us that at the end of Revelation, say that we are to honor God the Father. But then the Father says that we are to honor Jesus. In John chapter 5 and verse number 23, here is what the Bible says, and these are the words of God the Father. He says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now notice what God says. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. You see, there are several religions today that will teach you or will try to teach you that Jesus is just like one of the angels. There is one major religion in this country that will say that Jesus and the devil were brothers. I don't have to listen to anything else they say. I don't have to read any of their publications. I don't have to read nothing that they do. Why? Because God the Father says that if you don't honor the Son in the same way that you honor me, then you are not of me. It's important that Jesus Christ be exalted. It is important that Jesus Christ be lifted up. If you are a sports fan, you know, just a few weeks ago, the Houston Texans played the Cleveland Indians, and they beat the dog out of them, which was kind of unexpected. But at the end of that game, an NBC reporter interviewed C.J. Stroud, who was the quarterback of the Houston Texans, and he began, as a lot of athletes do, he began to give honor and praise to Jesus Christ. But you know what NBC News did? They bleeped that Jesus out. They didn't want no Jesus on their telecast. I know that they are against God. You say, that's a strong statement. I didn't say it. Hey, if you will not honor Jesus, God the Father says, hey, you will not honor me. And so we are to honor Jesus. And then in John chapter 12, in verse number 26, I believe the Bible teaches, Jesus teaches us that if you are a faithful servant of the Lord, that you are to be honored. Notice what it says, if any man serve me, if you are a servant of Jesus, if you are a faithful servant of the Lord, that's who he's talking about. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. Now here it is. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Can I tell you, if you faithfully serve the Lord, God the Father honors you. You're special in his eyes. You have great value in his eyes. You are worthy of being honored because the Bible says that if you will serve him, God the Father will honor you. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible, Peter is writing here and he's writing to husbands and wives, and he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And here it is, giving honor unto the wife. Now, this doesn't apply to CJ, but it applies to all of you other ladies. Your wife is not your slave, amen? You are to honor. Treat her with kindness. Treat her with love. You are her protector. You are her watch over her. And here in the passage of Scripture, Peter says, hey, husbands, you are to give honor. You're to hold in high value. You're to hold in high esteem your wife. Now, you can start listening again, CJ. In Matthew chapter 15, here is another difficult one. In verse number 4, matter of fact, you find this commandment all in the Old Testament and all again in the New Testament. Several times in the New Testament, it is not for just those that are young and living under your parents' authority. I believe it is for if you have parents alive, this commandment is for you. And it says, for God commanded. It doesn't say that he suggested. It says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the die of death. My parents wasn't perfect. Now, I know you've heard me talk about them, and you might think that they were, but they wasn't. There were some things that I didn't like about my parents, and there was some objections that I had about my parents. But you know, one of the things that I believe that God taught me early on was I was to honor my parents, and I think I did that until the day they died. And because of that, God has blessed me. Jesus says it's commanded. Honor, hold high in esteem your parents. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 3, Paul writing here, and he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Some of the most godly people in any church are those that have lost their husbands and they have time to pray and read their Bible and stay close to the Lord. I miss some of those widows that were here. I miss Lucille. I miss Opal. I miss Dorothy Breedlove. I wasn't here a long time before Dorothy passed away, but I miss Dorothy. I miss LaFonda. I look all over this congregation, and I see people that were here when I came, godly ladies, and many of those were widows. They had lost their husbands, but they were faithfully serving the Lord. And here the Bible says, honor widows that are widows indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. The word elders there means leaders, but I believe it means more specifically those that would teach the word of God, those that would lead the house of God, those that would be the leaders of the church. And here in this passage, the Bible says that we are to count worthy of double honor. Now, I've heard some preachers preach that, hey, the preacher is worthy of double salary. That's not what this passage is saying. But what this passage is saying is that if you have a leader or a pastor in a church that leads well, that is faithful to what God has called him to do, that he is worthy of two things. He is worthy of, number one, respect. I was raised in a time when preachers were respected. Now, I'll be honest with you. We've kind of, as preachers, we've kind of heard our own testimonies with all the scandals and all the things that you read on the news media. But I'm telling you, a man that is faithful to the things of God and watches over the flock of God, he is worthy of your respect, whether you like him or whether you don't like him. In this passage of Scripture, he says, hey, they are worthy of double honor. One of those honors is respect. But the second one is that he is worthy of financial honor. The Apostle Paul teaches that. If you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, he talks about it over and over, that if a man is full-time, if a man is serving the Lord, he is worthy of being paid. I've been in ministry now over 25 years, and I can tell you experientially, not theoretically, but I can tell you experientially, the way that God will bless a church financially is the way that they take care of their staff financially. When I was in Coleman, one of the things that I immediately did, anytime we had preachers come in, I doubled what we paid them. We started taking care of our missionaries better than what we did before. And through the years, the church really began to pay me well. They ultimately ended up paying me more than they had ever paid another preacher. And when I left there, the church was debt-free and had more money than they had ever had in their history. So many times in independent churches, we have the mindset, hey, you keep them humble and we'll keep them poor. But can I tell you, you know why God has blessed us financially? Because you take care of us financially. You take care of us financially. And because of that, God honors that and God blesses our church. I'm telling you, we have a lot of stuff for a church that's no larger than our church. Is it because of our wisdom? No, it's because God blesses financially. Now, I've given you that, all of that, to get back to our text tonight. Because as you know, there came a time when the church at Corinth, many in the church in the church of Corinth, had lost respect for the Apostle Paul. They started accusing him of all kinds of things. And a couple of weeks ago, I gave you a list of 14 different things that the church was accusing the Apostle Paul was. And so they had lost some of their respect for the Apostle Paul. But as I told you last week, they repented and they got right and they were reconciling not only with the Apostle Paul, but the church was reconciling with one another. And so Paul writes here in verse number 14. And he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us and in every place. Paul is celebrating here. Paul is experiencing a victory, and he's had a victory because the church has come back together. And those that had lost respect for Paul, it wasn't for anything that Paul was doing. It was because they were in sin and they were not right with God. But now they had gotten right and they're now back with the Apostle Paul, and they are respecting the Apostle Paul. And Paul is celebrating that victory. He's saying, now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ. He would go on and say in verse number 15, for we are unto God a sweet Savior, that is a smell, that is an aroma of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death. You would probably have to be a preacher to really understand what he's saying in verse number 16. But he's saying, hey, as a preacher, when you walk into a room, there are some people that's automatically going to be against you just because you're a preacher. Because they know what you stand for, they know what you preach, they know the message that you preach, and when you walk into the room, they know that they need to get right with God. There's been many a room that I've walked into in my day, and it gets stone cold. Preacher's here. You pull up in front of a house and all of a sudden you hear blinds close and all kinds of things. You walk into the grocery store and automatically you see church people and they see you and they start scattered and going the other way. It's death unto death. There is a conviction that comes when you walk into the room, but there are others, the Bible says, the others a Savior, life unto life. Well, there are others, you walk into the room and man, it glows, it reverberates, and there's light and there's fellowship and there's joy and there's happiness. Oh, there's the preacher, and they want to come over and hug you and love on you and say, boy, it sure is good to see you. It happens to preachers all the time. But the Apostle Paul asks a very important question. He says, who is sufficient for these things? Man, who has the ability to preach? Who has the ability to be a minister of God? Can I tell you, if anyone stands up and says, you know what, boy, look at what I've done, and boy, I'm a great orator, and I can do all of this and do all of that, they're not of God. Because notice what Paul says in chapter 3 and verse number 5. Because he answers his question. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The Apostle Paul says, hey, there's only one way that I can do this is being totally dependent upon God. There's only one way that a man of God can stand in a pulpit and lead a church, and that is by being dependent upon God. But I want you to notice what he says in verse number 17. In verse number 17, he says, for we are not as many. Do you understand what Paul is saying in that little phrase? Paul is saying, hey, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of prophets, there's a lot of different people out there proclaiming themselves to be prophets, preachers, or apostles. But he says, hey, we're not like everybody else. I think he's including Titus in there, and he's including Timothy, and he's including Silvanus, and he's saying, you know what? We're different from a lot of others that are out there. There's something unique about me is what Paul is saying. And then he goes on and he gives five different things that separates him and true prophets and true preachers from those that are not true prophets and preachers. And I believe that as I was reading this and studying this, I believe that if we are going to give honor to whom honor is due, especially to preachers, I believe that a list that we can use to see if they are worthy of honor is the list that the Apostle Paul gives. What is that list? Number one, that they're true and they're faithful to the Word of God. A man that is worthy of honor is a man that is true and faithful to the Word of God. Notice what Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. That word corrupt, it means hustlers. It means a peddler. It means a snake oil salesman. It has the ideal of someone that is corrupting the Word of God. They are whittling down. They are contaminating the Word of God. They are tempering with the Word of God. It also means that someone that is corrupting the Word of God, they're mixing other things in with the Bible. They use a little verse here and they use a little verse over there. They put in a little pop psychology and a little business savvy. Hey, they're mixing the Word of God with all kinds of different things. Paul did not do that. Paul was a man that was true to the Bible. He was true to the Word of God. Notice what he says in chapter 4 in verse number 2. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul says, hey, we haven't brought our own ideals into the Scriptures. Hey, what we have done is that we have been faithful to teach and to preach the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. What should they do? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Preaching it straight. Going right down the arrow. It's easy to come to the Word of God with your own opinions and with your own philosophy and with your own direction. But a man of God that's worthy of honor will preach the Word of God straight. Can I tell you, to do that takes hard work. There's a lot of things in this book that's hard to understand. And the only way that you can pull out and mine those truths is just get into the Word of God and study the Word of God and be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to lead you. I want to show you a text, Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Paul is getting close to the end of his ministry. And he writes this in verse number 25 of Acts chapter number 20. He says, "And now behold, I know that ye all among us whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." The Apostle Paul says, "I'm leaving, you're not going to see me anymore." And he goes on in verse number 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Meaning that, you know what, I've given you the gospel, I've given you the truth. He would go on and say in verse number 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul says, "Man, hey, whatever God has given me, I've preached it all to you. I haven't hedged anything. I haven't left anything out. I preached it all to you." And then he gives us advice. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." When I read verse number 31, there are some messages that a preacher has to preach with tears and brokenness. There's been many a message in my time as a preacher that I beg God not to have to preach. God, don't make me preach that. But God knew that it was needful. You see, a man that is worthy of honor preaches the Word of God, true. Do you know why on Sunday we can honor our preacher? Because he preaches the Word of God. Paul would go on and say this, that he must have pure motives. Notice what he says back again in verse number 17. He says, "which corrupt the word of God." He's talking about those that would corrupt. Paul was just the exact opposite. But he says, "but they must be of sincerity." The word sincerity means pure and unadulterated motives. It means that his motives must be tried. The ideal is that his motives would be put through a sieve. Some of you ladies that have cooked and baked, you know that you put flour in the sieves, and you know the good stuff goes through and the bad stuff stays in. But it's just the exact opposite with this. The bad stuff goes through and the good stuff stays. We all know that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know how we are going to receive a reward or lose a reward? It's not going to be based on no necessarily what we do. It's going to be based upon our motives. You see, if I don't have the right motives when I stand and preach, then it's of no value. It's of no avail. I've got to have the proper motivation, and that's what Paul is saying in the text. Paul was saying, hey, you've got to be sincere in your motivation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 2, the Bible says, "But even after that we have suffered before, we're shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is our witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." What did Paul say? I was true in my motivation. I was pure in what I did. You know why we can honor our pastor on Sunday? It's because he has pure motives. His motives are pure as a driven snow. I've been here for 18 years, and I can tell you, his motivation is pure. And that's what Paul was saying. My motivations are pure. The third thing is that he must be called of God. Notice what he says once again in verse number 17. He says, For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as in sincerity, but as of God. Paul was saying, you know what, I'm God called. Paul didn't volunteer. Paul was called by God. And just a few weeks ago, I gave you those passages in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15. God says he is a chosen vessel. And remember in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2, when the church was going to send him out, the church laid hands upon him and they said, hey, he is a chosen vessel. And they sent him out as a called one. In Galatians 1 and verse number 15, the apostle Paul said that he was chosen in his mother's womb to be a preacher of the gospel. It's important that a man be called of God. And if a man has been called of God and been faithful to his calling, then he is worthy of honor. The fourth thing that Paul says in the text is that in the sight of God, he must live in the presence of God. I often think about Adam and Eve walking in the presence of God in the cool of the day, fellowshipping with God. A man of God must live in the presence, must fellowship with God. Must not have anything that would hinder that fellowship. Must be able to pray and get a hold of God and get a hold of God's throne. The Apostle Paul was one of those kinds of men. He walked in the presence of God. And then number five, he must speak in the power of God. The last thing that Paul says in this text, in verse number 17, speak we in Christ. Can I say not everybody that stands in this pulpit preaches in the power of God? It's not easy. Because you can't preach in the power of God unless you walk. You have to sacrifice to have the power of God upon your life. And if you get around a man and have a man that stands in your pulpit that you know preaches in the power of God, he's worthy of honor. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4, the apostle Paul, or the church, was getting busy, and some of the apostles were getting busy. So what they did, they went and appointed deacons. And the reason that they appointed deacons was what he says in chapter 6 and verse number 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I thank the Lord every day that as a young man growing up, my heroes were not sports stars. I liked some, but they were not my heroes. I didn't idolize movie stars. I didn't idolize musicians. My idols and my heroes growing up were preachers and godly men and women in the church. I'll never forget Lois Curry used to sit on that side, and I'd always hope Brother Bigham would call on Brother Lois to pray. Because Brother Lois Curry could get a hold of God. And when he prayed, I'm just telling you, heaven would fall down. He was a hero. You've heard me talk about Ms. Mayo that would sit on that side of the congregation. And she was the same lady that stood up one Sunday morning and she shouted and scared everybody in church. But you know what? I watched her walk about 10 blocks to church back and forth a lot of Sundays so she could be in God's house. She was one of my heroes. I think about Maureen Hickman that was kind of like an adopted grandmother to me, that would tell me what I needed to know because all of the other ladies were scared of me, but she wasn't, and so they would go to Maureen and say, go talk to David. But you know what? She was a hero of mine. A lot of years she lived in just a little bitty old house, but she served God faithfully. Lester Roloff was a hero of mine growing up. You've heard me talk about him. I used to listen to Freddie Gage's testimony. I went about 2 or 3 years, and I'd put on that record every night when I'd go to sleep and listen to his testimony, because you know what? He was a hero of mine. I've listened to thousands of Jack Hiles' sermons. Some of you would know him, some of you wouldn't. Some of you that know him might hate him, I don't know, but he was a hero of mine. I've listened to thousands of his messages. But I'm telling you, there are some people in this world that's worthy of honor. That's why I think it's important on Sunday that we honor our pastor. You know why? It's not because he's good looking. It's not because he's got charisma. It's because he meets these requirements that the Apostle Paul laid out. He's worthy of our honor. God, we love you tonight. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for our pastor that you've put in our midst tonight. And God, I pray that you'd help him to get to feeling better. Lord, I know that he's had some injuries, and Lord, I just pray that you'd be with him and heal him. And God, I pray that you'd be with us as we come on Sunday, and Lord, I know we're going to have a great day because we've got a great church. And God, I pray that it would be a day of celebration. Not only as we honor our pastor, but we honor ourselves because we have the kind of church that he's wanted to stay for 25 years. And God, I pray that this would be a stepping stone. I pray that this would be a shot in the arm. And God, I pray that we would go forward. And God, I pray that our future would be greater than our past. And God, I thank you for this admonition in the text of what are the characteristics of someone that we should honor. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?